Okay, thank you very much. We're going to move on to our next item, number seven, which is the Western Oregon State Forest Management Plan. And I believe our main presenter on this is going to be Kate Skinner. I see Kate is with us. Kate, take
Good
it over.
afternoon. Thanks. Good afternoon. I think Jason's going to pull up our presentation for us. Chair Kelly, State Forester Mukamoto, members of the board. For the record, I'm Kate Skinner, the interim State Forest Division Chief. I missed doing a proper introduction this morning when answering some questions. I apologize for that. Our State Forest staff will be updating you today on our habitat conservation plan and our forest management plan, and specifically our strategies for those plans. For the HCP, Kate Wells is joining us from NOAA Fisheries. We'll provide more information on the timelines and products as we go through that process. And our forest management plan update will be focused on the process for outreach and input on the draft strategies presented by Mike Wilson, Bodie Dowding, and Cindy Kolomichuk. Before we dive into the presentations, though, I want to say, as the managers of these lands, we do want to take a moment to recognize the Indigenous people as the original stewards of these lands since time immemorial. As we frame these management policies, we've been working to build and maintain relationships with the tribes to honor their ties with the lands, and you'll hear more from Cindy today about that. Our intent is to continue to invest in our relationships so that we can represent tribal interests, past, present, and future, into how we manage and protect these forests. So now I'm going to turn it over to Mike Wilson, our Deputy Division Chief of Policy and Technical Support. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Kelly, members of the board, State Forester Mukamoto. For the record, my name is Michael Wilson, and I serve as the Deputy Division Chief of Policy and Technical Support for the State Forest Division. As Kate mentioned, I'm going to start today. I'd like to start today by providing you with an overview of the HCP and associated NEPA timelines. So if we could jump forward a couple of slides to the timelines. Thank you. So I'm going to point your attention here to the blue line at the bottom and the green line in the middle, which are the NEPA and HCP timelines, respectively. So beginning with the NEPA, as you'll recall, the process began in March of last year with a public scoping process and the release of the administrative draft of the HCP. Last month, ODF submitted applications for incidental take permits to NOAA Fisheries and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Submittal of those materials allowed for the next step in the NEPA process, which is the release of the draft EIS and public comment draft of the HCP. And so a concurrent 60-day public comment period will ensue for both of those documents. So if we look at the green HCP timeline, it's anticipated that the public comment period for the draft HCP will begin on March 18th. I say anticipated because everything's uncertain until it's actually published in the Federal Register. But when it is published, it will run for 60 days. At the end of that comment period, ODF will work with our contractor, ICF, and the services to review, evaluate, and respond to comments. We will make any necessary adjustments to the HCP and then return to the board in September with that HCP and a summary of public comment on the HCP as well as the EIS. The board would then provide direction to move forward toward completion of the final EIS. If the board directs the staff to move forward with the HCP as presented, the final HCP and final EIS would be completed in January of 2023. Soon thereafter, we anticipate the issuance of incidental take permits, and then later in the spring, the board would direct the state forester to implement the HCP and take permits. If the board directs staff to make any substantive changes to the HCP that are still within the range of alternatives analyzed in the draft EIS, the timeline would, of course, be extended to account for that extra work. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Kate Wells, the interim Oregon Coast Branch Chief for NOAA Fisheries, to provide an update on the NEPA process.
Thank you, and good afternoon, Chair Kelly, State Forester Mukamoto, and members of the board. For the record, my name is Kate Wells, And I am serving as the interim branch chief for the NIMS Oregon Coast branch. As you know, we have been hard at work getting the DEIS ready for publication in the Federal Register and for public comment. The notice of availability, which is the notice that is published in the Federal Register announcing our receipt of the incidental take permit application and announcing the availability of the DEIS and proposed HCP for public comment, has been cleared through NIMS West Coast region, and it's now going through clearance at our headquarters office. Our target date for publication of the Federal Register notice is March 18th. And currently it looks like we are still on track to do that. There will be a 60-day comment period, and details for how to comment will be included in the Federal Register notice. Before the Federal Register notice is published, advanced distribution of the DEIS and the proposed HCP will be provided to tribes about a week before the Federal Register publication, followed by distribution to stakeholders. The DEIS and the proposed HCP will be available on the NIMS project website. We also have a tentative virtual public hearing planned for April, and once that date is firmed up, we will let you know when that is. And at that public meeting, oral comments will be accepted by those who register in advance. After the public comment period ends in May, we will go through the comments received and draft responses, which will then appear in the final EIS. The final EIS should be released in early 2023, with a record of decision following that in the spring of 2023. And the decision to issue the incidental take permit will happen at that time as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate. I appreciate that. And, I'd just like to pass on our appreciation actually from staff. And we've had, this is a very involved process, as everybody knows, with a lot of complexities. And we just really appreciate both of the services, cooperation and support in moving this forward. So with that, next slide. And before we move on, I'd ask if there are any questions that are specific to the NEPA process. Okay, doesn't look like there are any questions. I don't see any hands. So shall we move on? Okay, great. So now we'll shift focus to the forest management plan process, and today we'll be providing you with an update on those draft strategies that support the draft goals that were presented to you last November, including a summary of engagement and feedback on those strategies. Next slide. This is just a reminder of our planning area for the forest management plan. It will cover all state-owned forest lands west, or managed by the department, west of the crest of the Cascades from the Columbia River to the California border, coincident with the same as the permit area of the HCP. This includes approximately 614,000 acres of border forestry lands in 14 counties, and it also includes approximately 26,000 acres of common school forest lands. Next slide. The timeline for the project has been updated. Today, we are bringing you the draft strategies. Originally, we had intended to bring the draft FMP to you in June. However, in light of the time that we will need to organize and respond to comments on the draft HCP received through the federal process, as well as the workload associated with drafting the FMP itself, we will not be bringing the draft FMP to you until November. During this time, we will also be modeling potential outcomes for the FMP and will present those to you in January of 2023. In May of 2023, we will seek direction to move the FMP forward into the rulemaking process, anticipating returning in November 2023 for final rule adoption. Next slide. So I think we've seen this diagram before, but it's always useful to go over it. It basically gives the full view of the planning process and connections with other inputs and outputs. So starting from the blue box labeled FMP, you can see the components of the plan, and it contains guiding principles that guide the development of the HCP that were already approved and then lightly edited and brought back to you recently. And then there are external influences also that contribute to the breadth of the resources addressed, the goals that are set, and the strategies for achieving those goals. In this way, the FMP provides the overarching management direction for state forests and is formally adopted into the Oregon Administrative Rule by the Board of Forestry to codify the management that the management direction meets greatest permanent value. The FMP will describe other guidelines, as you can see, for asset management, implementation, and adaptive management as well. Now, the draft HCP, shown by the blue box in the lower left, has a very direct effect on the FMP, in that its conservation actions will be the management standards that address the species which it covers. These standards will be incorporated into the FMP by reference and become a fundamental underpinning of how the FMP addresses the covered species. And it will also contribute to other native wildlife that have similar habitat requirements to the covered species. However, other plans also have influence, and some examples are shown on the far left. The Department of Fish and Wildlife and Oregon Conservation Strategy provides information and tools to define strategies for all native wildlife, including those that are not covered by the HCP. ODF's Climate Change and Carbon Plan basically provides the context under which to address carbon goals and climate change resilience in the Forest Management Plan. And then ODF's Recreation, Education, and Interpretation strategic planning efforts will form the basis for REI goals and strategies within the FMP. The FMP will also contain guidelines for implementation plans, monitoring plans, and adaptive management plans, shown in the green boxes, that flow from the FMP goals and strategies. Operations plans will in turn be used to fulfill implementation plan objectives. Most importantly, performance measures will be developed that contain specific metrics and targets to demonstrate progress towards FMP goals. The performance measures are monitored under the FMP and provide the essential dashboard for the Board of Forestry and others. We are going to be returning to you later on, and we have not set those dates for some workshop input on what those performance measures should look like, what would best inform you on plan performance. And we look forward to that at a later date. So now I would like to turn it over to Bodhi Dowding to provide an update on the development of the draft strategies and the associated engagement process.
Thank you, Mike. Chair Kelly, members of the board, State Forester Mukimoto. For the record, my name is Bodhi Dowding, and I'm the Western Oregon State Forest Management Plan Project Lead. I'm here to provide an overview of the development of the Forest Management Plan draft strategies and future Forest Management Plan development. Forest resources to be addressed by goals and strategies are listed in Oregon Administrative Rule. This is not an exhaustive list. For example, mining, soil, native fish and wildlife habitats, timber production, and recreation are included in the definition in the rule. Other resources are included in the FMP to recognize concepts such as landscape resilience, carbon, and drinking water quality. Goals are statements of what the state forester intends to achieve for each forest resource within the plan area consistent with GPV. Strategies shall identify management techniques that state forester may use to achieve the goals of the plan during plan implementation. Next slide, please. I would like to outline the engagement process employed during strategy development. After ODF staff developed draft strategies, they were reviewed by ODF staff and staff from other agencies. Draft strategies were then released to the Board of Forestry, Forest Trust Lands Advisory Committee, and the State Forests Advisory Committee. Three meetings gathered public and stakeholder feedback were held, and strategies were discussed at the December 3rd Forest Trust Lands Advisory Committee meeting. Letters received and summaries of the public and stakeholder feedback received in an online survey were supplied with board materials and a list of all comments can be found on the Forest Management Plan website. Today, we are seeking board feedback on the draft strategies. Next slide, please. Highlight Forest Trust Lands Advisory Committee feedback. FTLAC communicated that Board of Forestry land should be managed primarily for timber harvest and revenue production for the counties. There was also concern over a lack of specificity in the strategies and that strategies do not provide a clear plan of action or overall aim. Next slide, please. As I said, public feedback was solicited through an online survey, informational meetings for the public and stakeholders, and written input. In your materials, we summarized outcomes from a survey that was posted on our website. The survey was not random and is not a statistical representation of Oregonians, but it can be used as an indicator of public concerns. Emails and letters received commenting on strategies were also included in board materials. There was general support for strategies overall, but some strategies received a range of comments reflecting differences in values. Carbon storage, timber production, and revenue received lower support and were more likely to be criticized in comments from all stakeholder groups. For example, timber and revenue production were criticized for not being emphasized enough by some groups, and other groups wanted to see a major de-emphasis of timber and revenue-related strategies. Overarching themes that came out in the strategy survey and written comments received were reduce or eliminate pesticide use, protect drinking water, stop clear-cutting, grow and protect older forests, wood products are important for carbon storage, timber production is important for local government revenue and jobs in local communities, revenue and timber production are underrepresented in goals and strategies. There was confusion about why mining, agriculture, and grazing were permitted on state forests. It is worth noting that mining, agriculture, and grazing are specifically listed as forest resources in Oregon Administrative Rule and are consequently must have goals and strategies. I'll now turn it over to Cindy Kolomaychuk to present on our tribal engagement for cultural resource goals and strategies.
Sorry about that. Good afternoon, Chair Kelly, State Forester Mukamoto, and members of the board. For the record, my name is Cindy Kolomaychuk, and I serve as the project manager for the Western Oregon State Forest HCP. Over the last 6 months, I have had the honor of working directly with the 9 federally recognized tribes of Oregon through the government-to-government forum to develop cultural resources, goals, and strategies for the Forest Management Plan. This has been a collaborative effort, including diverse representation from the natural resources cluster and the cultural resources cluster, and was separate from the public engagement process that Bodhi just described. The primary objectives of the cultural resources goals and strategies are to honor tribal ties to the lands that ODF currently manages and to protect cultural resources across the landscape. The full text of the cultural resources goals and strategies is included in your board materials. And if you haven't had a chance to look at those, I'd encourage that you do so. It's a really important body of work that we've worked on for the last 6 months. Today, I will touch on a few key themes to give you just a sense of where we're headed. Next slide, please. First, there's access to harvest and cultivate culturally significant foods and other forest resources, as well as access to sacred gathering places. Also, identification and protection of culturally significant locations, artifacts, and objects that may be affected by management activities. Tribes are seeking integration of tribal interests at all levels of our planning processes, and ultimately implementation of cultural and natural resources stewardship practices. The goals and strategies support consistent communication on all activities and disturbances that may affect cultural resources. And finally, education to increase cultural awareness, competence, and accountability within ODF and with the public that we serve. The development of these cultural resources, goals, and strategies is a meaningful step forward in ODF's commitment to cultural resources protection. And we will continue working with the tribes to develop the relationships and the processes necessary for bringing these goals and strategies into action. And I would like to just take a moment to publicly thank the Natural Resources Cluster and the Cultural Resources Cluster. We had about six meetings to develop these, and it was a lot of time that they invested. So I just want to thank them for the work that they did. And with that, I will turn it back over to Bodhi.
Okay, thank you, Cindy. To understand the complexity of the way goals and strategies interact with each other, strategies have been reviewed by staff, and tactics that could be used to implement strategies on the ground have been identified. We received a lot of feedback. Here are the upcoming tasks we're working on for FMP development. Integrate feedback to finalize goals and strategies. This includes determining how goals and strategies interact and can be implemented on the ground. Along with this, we'll be drafting other plan components, such as guidelines, and working with the Board of Forestry to determine appropriate performance measures for the plan. Next slide, please. With that, before I move on to next steps, does anyone have any questions?
Not seeing any at this point.
Okay. If there are no questions, can we move to the next slide, please? Moving forward with FMP development, we will be revising goals and strategies based on Board of Forestry, Public, Forest Trust Lands Advisory Committee, and ODF District feedback. We are currently drafting the FMP outline with careful consideration of who the end users will be, what they will need and want to see, and how best to communicate this information. Some sections of the draft FMP, such as the guiding principles, are in final draft form. Writing teams are working on other sections, such as the management approach, the forest resource description, and the adaptive management and monitoring guidelines. And the performance measures need more planning and collaboration to develop. Modeling work will begin for the FMP this summer and continue into the fall. And staff will take board feedback and update the draft FMP based on board feedback in the early months of 2023. And now I'll turn it over to Kate for next steps.
Thank you, Bodhi. So as you can see, and we've kind of talked about a couple timelines now, I wanted to highlight the 2022 engagement pieces for the board. We'll be coming back May 10th and providing the HCP draft EIS outcomes and an opportunity for discussion with ICF and representatives from the services at that meeting. September 7th, we're looking at HCP NEPA update for you at that point. And then November 16th, as Mike talked about, we'll come back with a draft forest management plan. And that was delayed from an earlier date. So we feel like we'll come back with a full draft for you to review and take a look at that point. As we move into 2023, we'll be looking at the modeled outcomes early in the year. And then April and May are some points for consideration, and we'll be looking for the board to, we'll be seeking direction from the board on implementing or moving forward on the incidental take permit. And then as well in May, a board decision on the FMP to potentially enter rulemaking at that time. So with that, that was the end of our presentation today, and we're ready for questions or input.
Yeah, you know, I'll start it off by saying that, you know, as has been pointed out, Cindy was saying there's a lot of material there in our board books, and you know, there's just a lot with all of the strategies. And there's been some, we see in the board book also some very thoughtful testimony from stakeholders. And there's so many different issues. I think most of them we can't really probably, you know, cover in our public meeting. So I'm would encourage all board members, as they have time, to be reaching out to Kate and her staff with your questions and suggestions on the strategies, what you see is missing, or doesn't feel right. I'm certainly going to do that, but I'm not going to do all of that in this meeting myself. But I've got enough issues just myself to take up the next hour. So anyhow, with that in mind, I see a bunch of hands up, and I'll start with Carla.
Thank you, Chair Kelly. Four very quick comments. Kate, you know, when we look back at this after a considerable amount of work, I think the test of time is, did we achieve the management outcomes that we had hoped to? And I look at every one of these goals and I just see huge prescriptions and tactics and strategies for every single goal. And, you know, it almost feels like every single acre. But as we implement this thing, you know, measurements and metrics really determine how well we've managed this plan. So I would just like us to really think about that as we continue this review. My second point is, we started the day with wildfire costs and acres burned. And I just would really, you know, I've been assured along the way that this will include landscape resiliency and mitigation, but yet that doesn't stand out in this plan. And I want to be sure that it does. Under the financial viability, under economic goals, the goal to generate revenue on page 7, item number 2, we say seek out and incorporate new revenue streams and market opportunities that maximize net revenue in alignment with greatest permanent value. That looks to me like we're saying we're going to not only we are going to maximize greatest permanent value, but we're going to look for additional resources to enhance where we are today. In light of this lawsuit, I want to make sure, you know, we are very clear with the counties on what this plan would mean to them in terms of county payments. And, you know, that's going to, what that means, we have to model our harvest outcomes, you know, along with this HCP to give them financial, you know, a surety. And so I can take that offline with you, but I can understand, that's a little confusing to me, and I want to make sure that we clear that up. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Carla.
Thank you, Carla. Joe Justice.
Thanks, Jim. Just a couple things. Indulge me for a second. We've been on this journey quite a long time, especially Brenda and Jim and I. And there's, you know, going back all the way back to the business case analysis to increase financial viability and conservation outcomes was the, you know, the goal of our process that we began some years ago. And it just got me thinking, and this, that's how I kind of process. I have to kind of go back to the beginning and think about where we are and how is this aligning with that process. And I too agree with Jim. There are lots of strategies and lots of, you know, things that we don't have time to really get into. But it was always my understanding this was going to be, this is a companion forest management plan. This is a companion plan with an HCP. And one of the things that I don't see, and maybe this is coming, I guess, is that the HCP, what will come along with HCP are HCAs or protected areas that have very, that are designed for conservation, right? I mean, the goal of those committed acres on state forests will be for conservation. I think that's brought, you know, widely understood. And it seems that we have, by the strategies, we seem to talk about kind of every acre, these strategies across the scale of every acre. And I guess in my mind, I feel like there are different goals and strategies for acres outside of HCAs and acres inside of HCAs. And I was expecting, or I guess I'm expecting that I would see something like that. In other words, you know, it's because we have HCAs and we assume we have an estate take permit, we should be able to be more broadly with management, utilize management more broadly on acres outside of HCAs. Will I see that? That's maybe my only question. I expect to see that difference. I hope to see that in a companion forest management plan. That's what I believe this is a companion forest management plan. So that's kind of a comment. Maybe, I don't know, Kate, if you want to try it. I don't know there's really a question there necessarily, but will we see that? Will we see, I'm expecting to see different strategies and goals for those, we're going to ultimately categorize acres, right? Will we see that in this FMP?
I'm gonna turn it over to Mike, but I think the short answer is yes, you will see that. Well, I'll let Mike get into the detail.
So I can confirm that's a yes. However, the degree of specificity, of course, will still be at a certain high level. So one of the things that we haven't done, and part of the whole way that we're going about it here is really to gather input on goals, to gather input on strategies, to find out the things that are really important to people. And we sort of need that to really frame up the management approach for the plan. And so understanding the HCP would always be an underpinning in there, that a lot of the goals and strategies are directly controlled by the HCP, but the FMP, you know, as FTLAC Chair Yamamoto mentioned earlier, is actually the bigger document here in terms of speaking to state forest management. The HCP is an implementing piece. As Member McComb mentioned earlier as well, it allows us to do that with provides the certainty to do it. So that'll certainly be in there, and those things will be fairly specific to HCAs and RCAs. However, the strategies applied, you know, there's certain principles, and you will see principles of both for production and for, you know, what we might think of as more typical forestry production, but also ecological forestry principles threaded throughout. And so I really do want to set the clear expectation, no acre, maybe particular acres, but between conservation areas and production areas, neither is devoid of having both some outputs that are production or economic in some ways, and that also speak to conservation. What the management approach will demonstrate is where the emphasis of those things are, for sure. And definitely from our perspective, we've made a large commitment under the HCP to be able to have that certainty long-term against not only current, but future species listings. And mm-hmm. So there's a lot wrapped up there, and it speaks to a lot of the goals for native wildlife. And we definitely look at the matrix in between those areas as being, critical to the more classical timber production, if you will.
Yeah, Mike, I appreciate that. The strategies identify management techniques, right? The management techniques, and there's going to be different management techniques inside and outside of HCAs. And I just want to be able to understand that as a board member. I want to be able to see that within the forest management plan, that I can read that and say, okay, where there is a difference here. Yeah. And I guess that's what I just want to communicate to you, is that I want to be able to see that difference.
Thank you.
Okay. I'd like to be able to see that difference too. I know people in the industry have been bringing that issue up. Ben?
thanks. I'm Ben Däumling for the record. And thanks for all the huge amount of hard work you guys have put into this so far, and fielded a lot of feedback, and we've got more, obviously. One of the things, as I look at the goals, the strategies there, forgive me if this is a imperfect metaphor, but I feel like they're sort of a grab bag of all the things we would like to do with this forest. And I like a lot of them. They point us in a lot of good directions, but the performance measures are really, I feel like, where the rubber hits the roads. And we've alluded to these before, and you've alluded to there's going to be some workshops over the summer digging into those performance measures. I really like to see, I think, these goals and strategies crafted in such a way that they can be measured. Or at least there can be indicators that are telling us how well they're working. Because without that, we get down the road with a plan that's been implemented and we start losing sight of those. And so, and I know it's a challenge. especially with a lot of these values and goals and strategies, which are a little squishier, harder to measure, harder to have good indicators for. But as out there, obviously, the work is coming to do the performance measures, but to craft the language and the goals and the strategies in such a way that they can align with ways to see whether they're working. And that's where the rubber is going to hit the road. The reason there's so much interest in this plan is because there's a lot at stake. And so far, this plan hasn't really started to divvy that up in a way that it's going to have to do at some point. And I want to make sure we're setting this up from an FMP's perspective to give some of that guidance and not leave that up to the AOPs and IPs. So I think we're on the right track, but just encourage us to sort of keep that in mind as we go forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chandra.
Thanks, Chair. And I would completely agree with what Ben just said. Number one, thank you for all your work on this. I think it's a monumental task to take all this feedback and try to get a document that everybody is on board with. And I've struggled a little bit myself with the concept that, you know, we're trying to convey a roadmap of how our lands are going to be managed. And when things start getting really convoluted, it's challenging to understand how this is actually going to play out on the landscape. And so I think what Joe had talked about and kind of understanding that there may be some of these goals may apply differently in different parts of our state lands, right? Whether or not there's an HCP there or not, having an understanding of that would be helpful. But the other piece that I keep seeing come up in comments from all different stakeholders is, you know, is there an opportunity for us to consolidate a little bit? Recognizing you got a lot of people saying these certain words are very important for different goals, right? But some of them do seem to overlap a little bit, and maybe there are still opportunities for us to consolidate. And then much to Ben's point, when you're looking at the strategies, you know, there are varying levels of detail and prescriptiveness that are included in each goal. And so some of them provide a little bit more of that roadmap where you're like, oh, I can easily understand maybe what an indicator would be here to track progress. But on some of them, you really can't, like what's anticipated here and what would be a good indicator. So maybe it's almost hard, like you kind of want to have that indicator conversation so you understand a little bit more about how that relates to the strategy and how appropriate certain things are. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there as, you know, I fully support everything that's been said here today and look forward to furthering this along. And those are some of the things that I'm thinking about. So thanks.
Thank you.
I also want to acknowledge one other element here. You know, I've heard from various industry voices who are feeling that the language is less friendly towards the economic interests, to the counties, to the industry, than what they've seen in prior documents. And I think there are examples of that. I don't think they're wholly wrong, but they're feeling pretty distrustful of the process. And I think what I have said to some of them is we have to acknowledge that we are still operating in a situation where we have an unsettled Linn County lawsuit hanging over us. So if I was in any of your shoes writing this language, having to be very careful about certain words and all. And I hope that industry understands the position that you're in and that we're all in while that hangs over all of us. It does certainly make this work. Since none of us know exactly what's going to come out of that, it makes this work a little more challenging, and appreciate everybody's efforts to work in that environment.
Thank you, Chair Kelly. And, you know, I would like to tag on to that, if I might, a little bit. When, you know, there's sort of a, just because, say, the number of strategies that directly mention one resource or another are not necessarily equal, I don't want anybody to think that we are discounting any given resource. And quite frankly, we see all the goals and strategies as being complementary with what we're doing. And in our view, forest resilience, the adaptive capacity of the landscape, the things that we're doing for forest health, and all of these things really support the continued production of timber and revenue as well. At the same time, timber revenue helps us pay to implement a lot of other things, right? So these things really do interact that way, and we are very cognizant of that. And there will be some consolidation of these things as we go along, for sure. That's part of what we're doing now as well. We take all this feedback. Part of that is just there's too many of these things. But then there's also the internal process of saying, okay, let's line up how all these things work. And that's a huge, huge task that the technical team is dealing with right now to go through. And then we'll finally land at something that's a lot more concise than what we've seen so far, and really a better description of how it'll be implemented. And hopefully that'll help with that.
Super. Other comments and questions from board members? If not, I'm going to do a time check here. I am thinking we are ahead of schedule, and it looks like it's 2:21, and looks like we were scheduled for our break to start at 2:45. Hillary, maybe you could tell us, if we run a little bit ahead of schedule, will people be ready for us if we're 10 or 15 minutes earlier the rest of the afternoon?
Board Chair and members, I believe we will be. I will get them ready. Just let me know the start time, and I will communicate that out.
Okay. In that case, let's see if we've let's reconvene at 2:40. That gives us almost a 20-minute break, and I think we could all use that, and maybe we'll get out of here early today. So again, we'll adjourn now and reconvene at 2:40.